Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Last night, the World Baseball Classic comes to an end, and I tell you, it was thrilling. What a way to end what was just an awesome, awesome couple of weeks for baseball worldwide, not just in the country. And now we're getting back into the rhythm of spring training. We're 8 days away from the season opener, and joining us right now, once again, as he does each Wednesday, former big league pitcher Bill Lasky. Spent his time with the San Francisco Giants, and now you can hear him on KNBR, flagship for the Giants, on the weekends as we gear up for the regular season. Bill, great to get you back on, and here we are 8 days away.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, this is an exciting time for fans. Not so exciting in those clubhouses because they got to make the cuts. They got to get down to 26-man rosters. And there's a lot of excitement going on, but there's a lot of frustration too because every at-bat, every inning, every pitch, it comes down to what's next, who's injured, who's going on the IL, what's the roster looking at. Are you taking 13 pitchers? Are you taking 13 fielders? So there is a lot of anticipation for opening day on March 30th, but yet there's still a lot of work to do.
Let's start by talking about the World Baseball Classic. It comes to an end last night, and Bill, this is kind of it changes spring training a little bit, and I know there's been some criticisms there, but you and I share the same belief. This was great for baseball. I mean, it's a global sport, and we got to see the world's best on a huge stage. Last night, you couldn't have asked for a better script. Shohei Ohtani going toe-to-toe with Mike Trout, USA down one. It's a 3-2 count. I mean, my goodness, if Hollywood writes a script for the World Baseball Classic, that's what it looks like.
Oh, 100% scripted to the best, and the two best players in the world, that's what I said too. And, you know, it came down to a nice slider in the outside corner, which he never threw Trout until that last pitch, and to have the guts and the fire to throw a slider at that time. Shohei Ohtani just shows me so much of a relaxed attitude. He's just so comfortable at bats, on the mound, in the dugout, in his speeches to his team. He's just that pure energy, that pure guy that everybody looks good, feels good, and understands who he is. And here's a player from Japan, and he has taken over the world.
Is it one of those deals where you look at Shohei Ohtani, and I mean, again, just the statistics. He's named the MVP of the World Baseball Classic. He hits 435. He has a 1.8 ERA, and again, a tournament-winning strikeout. Not only did he strike out Mike Trout, but right before that, he got Mookie Betts, one of the best in the game, to hit into a double play. This guy is absolutely incredible, and we're not saying anything that we didn't already know, but I think for the first time, with him being in Anaheim, where they don't play a lot of meaningful baseball by the time we hit the middle of summer, the entire world got to see just how dominant Shohei Ohtani really is.
Oh, so true. And you hit it right on the head. You didn't really see Trout. And he even said, the only thing I got to do is maybe got into a wild card game or the All-Star game. And he was fired up. You see these guys that are on center stage for the world because you're looking at a lot of Latin countries, Japan, China, and then the United States was all focused on the WBC, and that's what baseball needed. It either shot in the arm. And Shohei Ohtani is just showing people that, you know, Japan's got some top players too, and I think we all understand that too. And it's just going to get better and better. 2026 is the next one. Already Trout is saying, I'm in. But I think what has to gauge here is if United States pitchers need to get ready for this, then they need to get thrown earlier because I think a lot of them have pulled out because of arm injuries, their arms not ready. And I think that was about the only thing that in my mind was a negative. I didn't see the top line pitchers, Garrett Cole, Kershaw, even Logan Webb from the Giants. It's just a masterpiece of a tournament, but yet I thought USA didn't have their top line starters.
You know, it's funny, and we would have to peel back several layers to this onion, but I talked about this yesterday. I think sometimes we get too complacent, right? So we go back to basketball. Let's go back to 2006. We dominated the Olympics. right? 2004, 2006, all of a sudden the rest of the world's starting to catch up with us in the game of basketball. And it took a veteran champion like Kobe Bryant to kind of bring that back. And it really highlights that in the latest documentary, The Redeem Team. It took a guy like Kobe to get the next generation of players to kind of buy in and say, look, this is for pride in our country. And since then, Team USA kind of brought it back a little bit. Sometimes I think we get arrogant in the idea that we have the best of the best. We do have the best of the best, but if the best of the best is not competing, the rest of the world is catching up with us. And I think we saw that in this tournament.
Oh, that was extremely well done right there. Well said. And I agree with you. I think a lot of the Americans, you know that Major League Baseball players were sitting in their condos or hotels watching this and wondering, why didn't I do this? Why wasn't I part of this? And I think it's fear of injury. I think it's contracts. And if guys are ready to be a free agent, they're looking at themselves instead of looking at the whole picture. And I think, you know, one of the questions that was asked to me in an interview here in San Francisco was, would you rather have Giants on your chest for spring training or USA? And I think a lot of that goes into the pride and the discipline of players wanting to do this. And you've heard this the whole time in the WBC, the best 2 weeks of my life. I'm having the greatest time with these guys. And I think that's the part that's missing in baseball. You see the excitement from a lot of the Latin American countries. This was their World Series. This was their time to brag. And it just seems that we're missing something there. United States is just missing something. And I love the comparison you threw about the USA basketball team, because we saw the lineup, no doubt about it. Those nine guys were solid. But I just felt that the pitching side was a little less than what I expected.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. As we talk Major League Baseball, World Baseball Classic comes to an end last night. Japan tops USA 3-2. Bill, if we talk about some of the players that were just exciting, I know Shohei Ohtani ends up being the MVP, but I don't know if there was a better offensive player in the entire World Baseball Classic than Trey Turner. He looked every bit worth the massive contract that the Phillies handed out to him this offseason. I mean, if you're a Phillies fan, you probably got extremely excited watching Trey Turner over the last couple of weeks, because my goodness, he looks good.
He sure did. And in the beginning of that tournament, he was saying, my timing was off. I just wasn't picking up the ball quick enough, and I wasn't quick to the plate. I wasn't grasping what I needed, and the mindset was, I only had 20 to 25 at-bats in spring training with the Phillies, so he wasn't up to the task. But he said, going in the cages, working with Ken Griffey Jr., trying to eliminate a couple of the issues in his mental part of the game, and sure enough, he brought it on with that grand slam, and he just stayed hot for the next few games.
Yeah, this guy is so much fun to watch. There's a reason why Philly pays him $300+ million moving forward. Now you take a look at the Phillies. I know that there is somewhat some good news coming out that they won't put Bryce Harper on the 60-day IL just yet. As we look ahead to next week's season opener, Bill, for me, right now in the National League, I find it very difficult to put anybody above Philadelphia. I just love the pieces that they have together. If they were to get Bryce Harper back within the first two and a half months of the season, I say good luck. This team looks locked, loaded, and I don't know if anyone in the National League has the firepower to stick with Philly. That's my early assessment.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, we go back to Dave Dombrowski. How many teams, how many World Series winners he had, even going back to Detroit days. The man is a masterful. He does put pieces in that puzzle that's needed. And for him to go get Trey Turner as one of the main pieces, and they have a couple of top-line rookies, young shortstops in their organization that's going to get pushed back. And when you start throwing a Trey Turner in there and Schwarber, and like you said, Bryce Harper wants to jump in this quicker than expected, this team in that locker room is going to come together more and more. And I think Trey Turner is going to be a leader. And if you get a guy like Trey Turner hot and you don't know where to put him in the lineup, you could put him in the front, you could put him in the middle, and look what he did in batting ninth. This team, I believe, just like you're saying, is the possible runaway in the National League.
Bill, you've been around the game for so long. I know you've been around the Giants when they've won their World Series championships. You've seen a team play the year after winning a World Series title. When you take a team like Philly, who came up just short. And you could have made the argument they were the hottest team in the bigs, the way they went through the postseason. When you lose in a World Series, what can that do, I guess, on the positive outlook moving into the next season? Because that's what the Phillies are going to be faced with.
Well, when you look at their team last year, you know, they didn't spark. They didn't really have a run toward the end. And then they got into it. And we always talk about just get into the tournament at the end. Just get in and see how your team rolls. And you and I talked about this last year. They were just middle road. They were average. They weren't above average. They just weren't clicking on all cylinders. And sure enough, the playoffs came around, and they were a hot team. And they went right through the National League all through the tournament. And then when they got to the World Series, man, it was just they were so close. And that gets you eager. That gets you back into spring training with small meetings along players and saying, look, this was the taste we had last year. We can't go into that drought. We have to stay atop. And let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of National League teams going after them. And you know as well as I, the Mets are looking at them. St. Louis is looking at them. The Padres are looking at them. And they're going to try to see how they get motivated, as Philly did, to get in and get hot.
Yeah, Philly pushed all the right buttons at the trade deadline, right? So I think sometimes it's easy to have the short-sighted mindset looking at teams on paper going into the regular season. But 9 out of 10 times, a team that's standing at the end is a team that made the right moves mid-season, because you can't roll with this roster all the way through 162-game mark. It's impossible.
Yeah, I agree with you there, too. It's you know, pieces of puzzles. I always talk about the puzzle at the end. If you have all your pieces together and everything's gelling, the clubhouse is gelling, there's no fatigue in your pitchers, because toward the end of the year, you start getting tired. And once you start mentally getting tired, the arm starts getting tired. And I think they did a lot for the rotation as well as the bullpen. I just think Dombrowski is such a smart man as a general manager, and he sees that. He hears that. He feels it. And I thought he did an exceptional job this winter picking up pieces.
Bill, I want to rely again on your experience being around a team that has won a World Series championship. If we go back and look at the most recent titles that the San Francisco Giants won, it was 2010, 2012, 2014. They never went back-to-back. And it's so difficult to do in any sport. I think it's probably easiest in the NBA because you don't have as many players affecting a game as you do in baseball. There's so many more variables. The NFL, we're talking about a one-game tournament. You're around those giant teams that won in 10, 12, and 14. What's the biggest obstacle that the Astros have to be aware of as they look to go back-to-back?
Well, I think we start right with Altuve, a broken thumb, injuries, health. Can you keep it all mentally and physically together? And you know what? The Astros have that. Dusty Baker lives with that. He has so many options. He's a veteran manager also. He likes that older player. He likes that experience factor. And I think that's one thing that he'll go into this season. And you know as well as I do, you know, the AL West has some contention here with him. They picked up the Rangers and the Angels also. I think the Angels will be a sleeper. But at the same time, I just think it's the experience of your manager, how he displays that confidence and quality that comes out of him to his team. But I still think the number one issue for a team to regain that World Series title is health. And I think it's all building with that team. And, of course, with Altuve's thumb gone for a while to him, it puts him back a little, because he's been a leader on.
Bill, I know we have plenty of time next week to kind of give our preseason predictions. We'll be talking before opening day. I can't wait for that next week. And so before I let you go, I have to get your thoughts on the latest article coming out from AP today talking about the clarification of new rules in baseball. There's Major League Baseball sent out a memo talking about how the new rules will allow umpires to delay the start of a pitch clock after big swings in which a hitter loses footing or when a pitcher covers first base, third, or home. A lot of clarifications, a lot of variables here. To me, look, and I watch a ton of baseball, I know you do as well, this is getting kind of murky. Like, when I saw this memo today, the first thing I had to read it like 3 or 4 times. I'm not a big fan of the pitch clock and the counts to begin with. Now there's a gray area where the umpire kind of controls the game. Are you as confused by this as I am?
Well, I kind of looked at it, and I was like, why don't we just add 5 seconds to the clock and forget about all that? Because that's all you really have to do. Now you're getting the umpire out of it, and 5 seconds kind of eliminates a lot of stuff. Same thing with a pitcher backing up third base. The clock's not going to start till he touches the infield grass. If the pitcher wants to step off, you know, there's added seconds. If the catcher's the last out, the umpire's going to give him time to put his equipment on. They're talking about bat boys getting the bats out quicker. Just eliminate all that and just add a few more seconds on it, and then you have a little more time. All these little clarifications don't mean too much to me, except the umpire, once again, is going to be in the middle of this. I look at the WBC, not one issue. Of course, games are over 3 hours. Some of them were close to 4 hours. Nobody even threaded them. Nobody even complained about it. But I think Manfred's got to just clean this up and add some seconds or do something different to clarify all this.
I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, I look at the 11-man competition committee and say by the end of this season, maybe it's trial by error. Maybe by next year we look at it and we don't even recognize it. I just think eventually you have to scrap it and just get back to playing baseball, because you're 100% correct. Some of the WBC games lasted 3.5 hours, and real baseball fans don't care anything about it. And I think fringe baseball fans will tune in the 6th, 7th inning and they're okay with it.
I agree. And maybe we take this clock for the first half of the season and see how it does till the All-Star break and then look at it. I believe once you get to the playoffs, throw the clock out. I think the playoffs, you know, division series, World Series should not have a clock on it, and worry about a guy stepping out of the box and getting a call strike or a strike three on it. That is just going to be brutal in the game of baseball. And if they want to try it for a couple months and see if it works. I know the time of the games in spring training are almost a half hour, 35 minutes shorter. Fine, that's great. But let's see how this is going to work when we start March 30th, when the Giants go to New York and play the Yankees, and see how much energy is going to be in the crowd and seeing how this pitch clock is going to work.
Well, I can't wait for next week, Bill. Next Wednesday, and we talk, we can go over the predictions. We can give our thoughts on the divisions, the pennant, everything else that comes along with it, talking about the World Series champs. I'm looking forward to it. That's always one of my favorite shows to do. I know you're still working extremely hard on the weekends, Bill, as we are approaching the weekend and the season openers. What do you have in store for us this weekend on KMBR?
Well, I got a lot of good interviews once again, you know, and I'm gearing up for the season. The Yankee weekend, I got Chris Chambliss coming on the show, and then the following weekend, Kansas City comes for the home opener against the Giants. I got Frank White on that one. The weekend after, the New York Mets come in. I got Dwight Gooden. So I'm loading up with some really good alumni interviews to bring back some of their, you know, expert analysis of how the game has changed and what they like and what they don't like about all the new rules. But then again, I look at their careers and they've all had such stellar careers.
All right. Always a pleasure to get you on and talk about the game, Bill. Can't wait for next week. I appreciate the time.
Always. And I hope your listeners understand you and I love to talk baseball.
I would love it. And next week's going to be a blast. Can't wait. Thank you again, Bill.
Thanks. Thank you.
We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, live from the Sutherland Studios. We're here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.